Greetings to everyone from around the world. This is a Sunday sermon recording from Father Mike of Our Lady of the Hills Parish, here in Southwest Ohio. I am your host, Ishmael Ali, and here is Father Mike's sermon.
The Lord be with you. Reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to Jesus with a Herodian, saying, "Teacher, we know you are a truthful man, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And you are not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." And they handed Jesus the Roman coin. And Jesus said to them, "Whose image is this? Whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." At that, Jesus said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Jesus Christ. Today, I am not preaching a homily, but I'm preaching a sermon. So you say, "Father, what's the difference?" A homily is a sermon based on the Word of God that you just heard, and then I help you try to understand it more and live what Jesus is teaching. A sermon is on a specific subject that is not necessarily based in the Bible. And I deliver this sermon today with the motivation that I don't want you to be worried or upset or anxious about what's coming out of Rome now with this synod. You know about the synod. Joyce, you know about the synod. I'm sure you do. If you don't know, nobody knows. But, you know, they're discussing many things. And, of course, the media loves to sensationalize things, as you know. And they're picking out little things from the synod and saying, "The church is changing its teaching, and the church is going to do this, this, and this." I'm here to tell you today, the church teaching is not changing. The truths of the church will be there before the synod and after the synod. So don't believe all you see in the media. So I want to help you understand what is going on in this synod. I'll start with a story. Back in 2006, the whole church here was renovated, replastered, and repainted. The reason why we did this is because we had whole sections of plaster ready to fall down on people. And in fact, the people in the back, like where you're sitting, Frank, plaster would fall on those people. You better watch. But I have it fixed. But in the choir, there was a big 15-foot section of plaster that was ready to fall on the entire choir. Lynn could have hit a high A note and then everyone would die. Because you got killed by falling plaster. The guy who did the painting says the only thing keeping that plaster up there was paint. And it completely came off the roof. So we did this remodeling. I added 7 new colors, me and Mary Wright. We added 7 new colors to cover over the old gray plaster cracked walls. The colors were added in sequence. First we did, say, the blue, and then we did another color. And I remember when we added the pink, we did everything you see pink, we did that. It was all done in sequence to save money. And I locked this church so that nobody would get in till the painting was finished, lest they judge it incorrectly. If you remember at that time, we had Mass, Mary, over to Hall. And I locked the church. Do you think that kept out people? No. Like little mices. I would see people running around the church looking at everything. And oh, they were angry. Oh, I got an earful. Remember Michelle at that time? Oh, I was horrible. I'd only been here for like less than a year. So they didn't know who I was. And so they would loudly complain. And one of the persons, my dearly beloved friend, one of the persons I know and love was Henry Burwinkle. And Henry Burwinkle snuck in here and he's looking at the church just as we were painting all the pink. And Henry said to me, very upset, St. Mary Church looks like a nursery for a newborn baby girl. You know how Henry was. God bless Henry. And I implored Henry, I implored the people, don't judge the repainting till it's finished. But that day came. I think it was about 6 months later. That day came, and the doors were thrown wide open. And people were in awe of its beauty, especially the lunettes, which we still have. Aren't those beautiful? Had that painted. Those were painted by a Chinese Buddhist, seriously. But she captured the Blessed Virgin Mary so well. So it was so beautiful. People were in awe. And Henry Burwinkle, who made the nursery remark, said to me after that, I have been here all my life. I've never seen the church look so good. And Henry was so enthused about our remodeling, he gave personal guided tours. He gave tours to people coming. Come look at our church. I figure if I have Henry, I got everybody. So God love him. Well, I ask you today, don't judge this synod. It ain't over yet. They're still discussing and listening. That's what the Pope means by synodality. To simply discuss and listen and see the working of the Holy Spirit upon the people of the synod. It is not deliberative. They're not making any decisions. It's simply discussing and hearing each other out. And what they're discussing is how the Catholic Church can be a medicine of mercy rather than of severity. That's from a quote from Pope St. John the 23rd when he opened Vatican II, that the church must be a medicine of mercy, not of severity. And then the church, they're discussing how can the church be one that blesses and encourages, that helps those who seek the Lord. That's from Pope Francis I. So that's the reason for this synod. And right now, at this time, they are wrestling, how can the Catholic Church reach out with mercy to those who do not follow church teaching? And I'm here to tell you, there are a lot of people who don't follow church teaching. I've met them over 42 years of ministry. People who are divorced and remarried, but not in the Catholic Church. Some who have committed abortion, or even people who believe that abortion is okay. There are a lot of Catholics that believe it. Isn't that sad? And in fact, if the yes vote wins on November, you could thank Catholic women in the cities, in the suburbs. That's where it's going to come. So we have Catholics that don't agree with the church teaching on abortion. And now they're looking at the gays. Specifically, how can the church be more welcoming to gays who seek Jesus, who want Jesus, but are doing acts the church says are sinful? And they probably are not going to change. What do we do with them? Here's how the Pope is trying to solve this problem and the people at the synod. What they're doing is separating the person from the sin. That's how they're trying to solve this. Another way to put it, the Pope would bless the soul, that is the person, but not condone the act, which is the sin. It's no different from a loving parent whose children do things that you don't agree with, that are wrong, but you still love them, don't you? I hope. You know, they're your kid. They're flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone. You still love them, though you're disappointed in maybe how they're living their lives. This happens all the time. And so the Pope would bless the person, the soul, seeking God, but not condone the act. Church teaching about same-sex acts is not changing. It is not changing. Pope Francis just said this year, it is not a crime, but yes, it is a sin. Yes, it is a sin, he said. There is no way the church will bless same-sex marriage nor same-sex unions. That ain't going to happen, folks. In 2021, the Pope said, how can I bless sin? That's the church's position. So the Pope was saying, we cannot bless these unions or marriage. He's not saying that at all, despite what the media is saying. The church cannot bless sin, but Pope Francis recognizes that gay people and divorced and remarried people and people who believe in abortion and people who also accept capital punishment, the death penalty, which the church has come out against just last week. What do we do with them? Are they not children of God? Are they not children whom God loves? The Pope said, we cannot be judges who only deny, push back, and exclude. The mercy of God is offered to all. The Pope's approach of blessing the person, but not the sin. This is not new. This is not precedent setting. You know who else did that? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did that. Jesus did that in his ministry on earth. He never condoned the sin. How many times did he say, go and sin no more? But yet he said it with love and acceptance and hope for their conversion. The greatest example happened at the crucifixion. You know that good thief, you know, called the good thief? He was not good at all. That thief was a murderer. You see, in those days, they didn't have guns. There were no guns. So therefore, in order to rob, you had to hit him over the head with a big rock. Right, Bill? You know, big rock, bam, you know. You know about these things. So you're welcome, my son. Hey, you're the convert. We pick on you. Anyway, so they would hit him over the robber would hit the person over the head. He murdered men. He probably murdered women. They were very vulnerable. So he had hit them and maimed them with a rock, and maybe he even killed children. Very possible. You don't have any witnesses, you know? The good thief was horrible. He did heinous, horrible acts. And yet, here's Jesus. He looks at him, a man who's done all this sin, and he declares, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Luke 23:43, go read it. That's almost scandalous. How could Jesus, God, bring this man to paradise? I mean, can he have a little bit of punishment? Maybe his pinky finger fall off or something, you know? I mean, can he suffer a little bit for his crimes? That's how we would think. That's how I would think. But Jesus saw something in that robber's soul that merited paradise, despite his many heinous acts. He was made righteous by the blood of Jesus that was being shed right next to him. That blood made him righteous. And apparently Jesus must have saw some, what we call, he saw remorse. He felt remorse for what he had done. So he takes them to heaven. Another example, right after Jesus called St. Matthew, the next thing that happened was Jesus dined at Matthew's house. Matthew 9, 10 through 13 records this. It reads, "While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners, women of the night, they came and they ate with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with these tax collectors and these sinners?' On hearing this, Jesus said, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners.'" Here we see Jesus blessing with mercy these people who were rejected by society, just like gay people are, and some divorced and remarried. They're rejected. And he dined with them. He dined with them. He said, "You know, God is here for you too." He did not exclude them. He did not deny them. He did not reject them despite knowing they would probably sin again. Do you think all those tax collectors all of a sudden converted at that moment and gave up their lucrative tax collecting, or the sinners of the night gave up their job? No. But yet, Jesus reached out to them. He reached out hoping for conversion, hoping that they would find God's message of love and mercy. And we know it was successful because one of those people was St. Matthew. He converted, gave up his sinful life, and he followed the Lord. Pope Francis, right now, he's urging the Catholic faithful throughout the world, be calm, don't worry, we're not deciding anything, church teaching remains intact. There is no division, no schism that's going to occur. The purpose of the synod is not to change church teaching on marriage or allow blessings on gay unions. What he's trying to do is establish a formula for the theology of love. And what's changing is our pastoral approach. How do we deal with those who do not follow church teaching, but yet make them feel that we have not rejected them either? That's why the Pope keeps saying, "Tutti, tutti, tutti," which means everyone. It's Italian, I guess, for everyone. He's saying, "Tutti, I want everyone, even those who cannot follow church teaching for whatever reason." The theology of love is inclusive, not exclusive. It is accepting, not rejecting. You know, I always felt kind of bad. You know, the gays get put down a lot. I've witnessed this. Gays are murdered and gays are discriminated against. And that's sad to see that. But yet when they come to the church for solace, for comfort, then church leaders put them down some more and make them all feel rejected and persona non grata. Some priests do this. That's what the Pharisees did with sinners in their day. That's not what the Pope wants his priests to do. I like how the Pope describes the church. The church is a hospital for wounded souls. It is not a museum of hallowed saints. You're all wounded souls trying to be a saint. And looking at myself, I sure ain't there. I may never make it in this life. Well, maybe Joyce, you might make it. But I'll talk to Bill afterwards and I'll find out the truth. You may be in trouble. But, you know, we're a hospital. It's triage, baby, triage. Dealing with the wounds of people who come in here. I close with this beautiful depiction of God's mercy from St. Faustina. She had the great vision that you see up here on the wall. See right there, "Jesus, I trust in you." In the back, you can't see it, but those who can, that's what she saw. Jesus, I trust in you, mean trusting in his mercy, which is for everyone. And St. Faustina wrote in her diary, one thing alone is necessary, that the sinner set ajar the door of his heart, be it ever so little, to let in a ray of God's merciful grace, and then God will do the rest. Amen. I have a postscript on Friday this week, past week. I was down at my place on the river. I go down here generally on Fridays, the High River. I have my RV. I have friends from East Fork Lake, and we all gather together. Now, in the park that I'm in, it's called La Belle Riviere. That's where all the old people go. Because, it's, you know, we don't party. Oh, my God, it's 10 o'clock. Must go to bed right away. You know? In fact, some are starting to say it at 6 o'clock when it gets dark. I mean, we're old fogies. We are. We make our little hot dogs in the fire, and we drink, and we eat, and we talk, and we gossip, and just reconnect with one another. Now, right next door, it's connected with a bridge, is Ryan's Run. That's where all those young whippersnappers gather to party all night. I mean, these young people, young as 50, go over there. Yeah. Of course, the older I get, that really looks young. And all they party over there. I've been there several times. I never stayed too long. I can't party the way they do. They got the booze that's flowing, and there's like usually 20 people, and they all gather together, and they have potluck, and bring over booze, more booze than you can count a stick on, and they party. And I go over there because my sister is over there. She's only 64, so she, you know. But let me tell you, my sister, the Michelle, she can't take all the partying either by 8 o'clock. Seriously, she's in bed. And while they're over there hooping and hollering, she takes cotton and puts it in her ears so she can hear them and she sleeps. So this past Friday, I was there. My sister was not there. And I come in, and of course, right away, here, Father, here's some. Here's a, take a shot of this, take a drink of that. They feed me, we laugh. And they gave me a nickname. I don't know where this came from, but they call me Father Pork Chop. So I just go oink, oink, you know. Father Pork Chop. I guess I look like a pork chop, you know. Half a side of Piggly Wiggly. But I've talked with these people, and at this party on that Friday, there were six gay people, all three of them as couples. There was a woman there who had an abortion, and I've talked to her in the past, tried to help her, and it's strange, almost everyone there are former Catholics, because almost all of them are divorced and remarried. And so I come there, and this one guy, he's giving me a little shot of something. I don't know what it was. He says, Father, we're so glad you come over here. You're the closest thing to church we've had in decades. And then he said, I'm glad you come here. It gives me hope that maybe we're not condemned. Isn't that a beautiful thought? That they want the Lord, they believe in the Lord, but there have been some priests probably down the line that says, you're condemned, you're a sinner, and probably told him, as one said, priest told him he's going to go to hell. Let me tell you this. No human being on this earth has the right to judge the salvation of someone else. No human being on earth can condemn someone to hell or heaven, really. We cannot do that because only one person can do that, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Him and him alone has the power to judge and to decide who goes up, who goes down. Only God can do that. And for human beings to assume that power, that judgment, is blasphemy. It's blasphemy because you are assuming the power that only God has. And last time I checked, I ain't God, and I make a very poor God. My mother in heaven would tell God, God, don't make him God. She knows all my, where the skeletons are buried. Love you too, Mom. Anyway, so, you know, we cannot judge, and, you know, we cannot judge people to hell by the way they vote or anything. We just don't have that right. Only Jesus does. And in fact, I think the Father in heaven gave that power to Jesus or vice versa. So even one of them can't do it, but I think Jesus has that power. So anyways, my brothers and sisters, help us, Lord, help us in our being a disciple to always be welcoming. Welcome people. We must welcome them. Let their woundedness come here to us so that they'll have God to heal them. Someone said down there, Father, what name should we give our church down here? I said, well, I guess probably the truest name, Church of All Sinners. And I laughed and I said, but you know what? They're at my other churches too. The only difference is you probably sin differently than the way they do. That's the only difference. We are all sinners, but we are all under the providential mercy of God. God's mercy is greater than your worst sin. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
This recording of Father Mike's sermon was produced and edited by me, Ish Ali. The intro music is Amazing Grace, sung by LaGrave Avenue CRC of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you to Father Mike for a great sermon. Previous recordings of Father Mike's sermons can be found at stmaryhillsboro.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, maryhillsboro.org, and on the St. Mary Hillsboro YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this program, please donate and help sponsor future sermon recordings. You can send checks to St. Mary Catholic Church, 212 South High Street, Hillsboro, Ohio, 45133. All donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening.